I'm Keith Johnston, your host for Forrester's podcast, What It Means, where we explore the latest market dynamics impacting executives and their customers. Today, I'm joined by principal analyst Pete Jacques to discuss how AI can help in improving out customer experience return on investment. Welcome, Pete.
Hey, thanks, Keith. Thanks for having me.
So, Pete, we'll get right into this. You know, at the heart of this research, you believe that AI can serve a really important role in tackling the biggest challenge for CX leaders, which is basically proving out ROI. So we're going to talk about the five ways that you have found that AI can help CX pros build their ROI. So to kick it off, like, what's behind your thoughts here?
Yeah, good question, and really a good place to start. You know, I think the leading indicator for us is we see in our research that we do among CX leaders that very few of them, right now in our research, we see 15% report that they're very effective at proving the business impact of CX. And that comes from our 2023 State of VOC and CX Measurement Practices Survey. So they're telling us themselves that they're having a hard time. If we look at the reverse of that, 58% are telling us they're not effective. And we see this as being such a crucial part of their role because in other areas of our research, we're also seeing reported from CX leaders that they're having a harder time getting the budget they need, getting the resources they need, getting the attention of their CEOs and executives because they're having a hard time explaining the value. CEOs are having a hard time understanding the value of CX. And we see that reflected also in our annual benchmark studies, where over the last couple of years, we've seen that overall CX quality decreasing. Now, that's not necessarily the only indicator. We're also seeing varying levels and low levels of customer obsession. Again, what this all tells us is that CX leaders are having a hard time basically showing their value. And as a result, some of the questions we get in our guidance sessions are, how do I demonstrate this? Here are the challenges I'm facing. How do I get the attention of leaders?
So, Pete, what are the issues here? I mean, because, you know, we have so much data. CX index data indicates that if you have great customer experience, actually, you can generate more revenue, better quality experience. But, you know, you're telling us that it's a challenge. Like, why is it such a challenge to prove ROI for CX?
I think one of the biggest challenges I hear from CX leaders is their inability to demonstrate those linkages between different metrics, to be able to demonstrate that there's a positive business outcome, for example, that's related to a positive increase in CX. They need to be able to show that relationship between their CX metrics and the business outcomes that are important to the business, whether that's a revenue indicator, cost savings, or resilience. Those are the three main categories we generally speak to in terms of business outcomes. And they're not able, with the data that they have, with the resources and tools that they have, to be able to demonstrate that linkage. They also need to be able to explain what drives those CX beacon level metrics, whether it's NPS, customer sat, CX index scores. They need to be able to explain what drives those perceptions and the customer behaviors, as well as understanding what operationally is leading to those perceptions. And that's really the structure of our CX measurement framework that Forrester speaks about and advocates for.
So what's the issue? Is it bad data? Is the quality of the data? You know, what's holding it back?
It's a bit of everything. You know, there's different concerns that come up. One of the biggest concerns that we hear is the data are not located in one place, in one central location that allows them to empirically make those connections and look for those relationships. So we hear often that the data is scattered around and they're still working on trying to figure out how to bring that together. Data quality, data issues certainly is part of that conversation, that issue as well. So it's the quality of the data. And what I mean by that is there are a lot of questions, a lot of challenges that come back to CX leaders from business partners, from the C-suite around how do we know we're hearing from the right people? How do we know we're just not hearing from people who are complaining about us? So there's those standard pushbacks on kind of market research type of issues. And probably lesser to a degree, but certainly what it might be limiting them is the level of data. So what I mean by that is they may be restricted to only looking at their CX data in an aggregate level, the organization as a whole, rather than bringing it down to an individual level, which is where they can really start understanding connections, linkages, and then making predictions.
So you believe that AI could be very important in finding a solution to this. But before we get to that, talk to me about why you think it's so critical that we find the solution right now. Like, what's so concerning right now for CX leaders that, you know, we really need to find an answer?
Well, you know, as I've kind of alluded to earlier, what's happening is a lot of CEOs having maybe initially bought into the value of CX and understanding, at least at a high level, that there's value, are looking for more proof. You know, they're continuing to operate in more challenging situations. You know, we still certainly hear about shrinkflation as an issue. And so they're always being challenged to improve their bottom lines. And when they look at what they're spending on CX with the attention that they've devoted to there, they're not seeing the return or the evidence that they expected to. So there's more pressure being put on CX leaders. And our expectation is that if they're not able to deliver, we're going to see a drop in that as a function within an organization.
Okay, so if AI is the solution, you talked about five specific AI opportunities for CX. Could you just give us an overview of those and maybe, you know, get deep on a couple?
Certainly. So first of all, I just want to preface that now when I'm talking about AI, I want to be clear that I'm referring more to some of the earlier developed applications of machine learning, natural language processing technology, those techniques that are helpful to identify the likelihood of future outcomes based on historical data. So Gen AI will fit into one of these, but a number of them are, again, more, I'll say, traditional or certainly earlier applications of AI. And so what we're trying to do, what these solutions are doing are, in essence, helping to solve some of these data issues that we've talked about. And one of them that I didn't mention earlier is decreasing survey response rates. So the first one I'll mention is using AI for data cleaning and analysis. So in this case, it's basically replacing human intervention to look at data and understand if there's quality issues, what needs to be improved. And now with AI being able to access a much larger source of historical data to understand what are expected patterns and responses and what might qualify as a quality issue or incorrect response set, they're able to much more efficiently the AI tool is much more efficiently look and clean the data and improve the validity and the reliability of it.
Before you get too far into it, Pete, talk to me. Is it because the quality of the survey or the quality of the responses that requires such rigorous data cleaning and analysis?
I think it's a little bit of both. We certainly, you know, part of our roles as analysts, we often review survey instruments, and in many cases, we have some very reasonable and valid recommendations to make. And we see examples of questions that are not asked well or that are ambiguous. So that's certainly part of it. The other piece, again, is tied more to who's responding to the survey and how can we be confident that we're getting a realistic response back from them. And one of the ways of looking of examining that, for example, is looking at the response patterns across a survey. So someone, for example, who's just midlining a survey, going down a set of questions and just going right down the middle, or someone who maybe answers very positively on some items and then will answer negatively on another one because they're really not paying attention to the survey question. Or again, they're just blindly going through to finish the survey and maybe get an incentive or get it done. Those types of things that are data quality issues from the respondent perspective. The other angle is, again, with decreasing response rates, we do tend to get more responses from people who have something to complain about and people who are very happy about the service. So kind of a barbell effect. And for those higher level metrics where we're trying to get a representative sample of all our customers, it's challenging to sometimes feel like we're getting a representative set. So this is where the data cleaning analysis, looking at historical patterns, can help us estimate if we did get surveys from that full distribution, that representative set, this is what a more likely response or a result would be.
So you mentioned that, you know, most of these opportunities you're identifying is hinging on what's, I guess, more mature AI technologies, or, you know, use term traditional, but this idea of uncovering hidden patterns and trends seems like a perfect opportunity for Gen AI.
It is. But the reason why I'm couching this in the more traditional is because I'm thinking for this second idea of looking at it from a quantitative perspective. Later on, you know, another approach that I talk about is what's called synthetic data. And that one is based on generative AI. It's more of a qualitative approach where what the technology is doing is based on information from an LLM, large language model, that exists, that has probably a vast variety of responses of information that represents a wide variety of customers. Someone would ask a question to that corpus saying, someone who looks like this and maybe has these demographics and this level of experience, how might they react to this experience that I have or this situation that I've set up? And then it feeds in, looks for responses that are aligned with someone like that, and creates, again, this synthetic response that someone like that might have to the experience. And this approach is actually starting to be used more often in more traditional market research spaces, for example, with product development, testing, new ideas. But it hasn't been really used much in exploring an experience, broader experience.
And where is the training coming from? Is that recorded responses from customers? You know, where's that come?
Yeah, like many, language models, it's often sourced from just, you know, scraping the web, a lot of sentiment analysis that may be captured through social media, perhaps through other things that's currently publicly available. Now, I'm not as well informed with the specificity of certain vendors out there, but I would imagine that as vendors create these tools and these applications, they start compiling their own set that's more specifically based on this type of data, and maybe even incorporating any historical data that their clients would have in to help inform that corpus.
Got it. So we have data cleaning and analysis, uncovering hidden patterns and trends, of course. You mentioned synthetic data, sentiment analysis, which is much more unstructured.
Yeah, and more common. I mean, that one is probably more in use now, both available through many of the common enterprise feedback management software, or, you know, the customer feedback management software tools that are available now. But it certainly is an AI approach to looking at unstructured data to identify what are some key themes, what are key issues from the experience that we need to be aware of, what are those patterns that we're seeing.
What's your fifth area where AI fits in?
So the fifth one is predictive modeling. And this is where we really see more of a closer connection and direction for companies that are trying to get to ROI. And what this is doing is looking at data from those multiple sources that I mentioned earlier, survey data, business data, looking at operational data, and in essence, developing predictive models to help companies understand what will happen in different situations. So for example, if you've been gathering survey data for a little while on a particular journey, and journeys is really probably the best place this approach fits in. And you've got perception data from your customer, and now you've looked at operational data, and you start identifying the pattern that when this happens from an operational perspective, customers are less satisfied. But in a different operational situation, people are satisfied. That happens often enough that now you can predict, when this happens in our call center, this is how people are probably going to feel. And so one of the things that allows us to do is now rely less on the survey data, which, again, we may have initially had some issues in the quality, or we're seeing a decrease in response rates, and it's getting harder and harder to base our decisions on low samples there. So the AI is building these predictive models to help us understand how that customer is going to feel as a result of that experience. And really, most importantly, what's the outcome of that journey going to be? This is where we see the connection to the business. So the outcome can be positive for the customer. I accomplished what I set out to do. Maybe that's completing a mortgage application. So it's positive for the customer. And it's also either positive or negative for the business. I've got a new mortgage application that's going to turn into a loan. Or maybe it didn't happen. So they're losing business and they can go back and look at this model, look at the components and try and understand what didn't work in this experience. So really basing that knowledge now on the operational data that led to a poor perception, that led to a bad outcome.
So let's get a little bit more details here, because in that example, you're saying that more applications completed leads to more loans or what have you. And if there's a break in the application process, obviously that's a loss. But is there something more specific in this predictive model that is directly connected to the dollars, if you will?
So certainly we can look at the responses of that individual, and if they're performing more journeys, we also have relationship level data from that person, then we can connect their overall behavioral intent, such as likelihood to recommend, likelihood to renew, or we can even look at business data to see, did this person renew a contract, buy additional products, invest more with us, whatever that factor is, that measure is, that's important to the business. But this is why, as I mentioned earlier, it becomes important to be able to do that at the individual level versus at an aggregate level, where, again, some companies are still kind of stuck with, because they don't have that individual level data. That even individual level data allows us to see, not a technical word, but, have a crisper view of the strength of the relationships between the perceptions and the behaviors than we do when we're aggregating a bunch of people together.
And we can assume that AI can allow us to scale that analysis, if you will. So you want to get down to the individual level, and, but to do that at scale, these new technologies are certainly going to help that, right?
Exactly. We need a large amount of data to build the most efficient, most accurate predictive models that we can. So if we're starting out with larger amounts of data, some of it, again, internal to the organization, maybe some of it based on a broader data set that allows us to understand those relationships and how people behave, then that increases the likelihood that the decisions we're making for our own situation are accurate and lead to the outcomes that we're striving for.
So you started the podcast talking about how CX leaders really struggle to get the resources they need to do all the goodness that they bring. Of these five, is there a kind of a rank order where, you suggest that CX leaders start? Where's the opportunity, I guess?
I would say probably the most impactful will be getting to the predictive modeling. And I think some of that can be done without necessarily requiring, huge amounts of data. As I mentioned, more data allows for more accuracy. But what will help, I think, CX leaders start down that path is being able to demonstrate some quick wins, some quick stories that help them demonstrate the connections and the values. So again, oftentimes when I'm talking with clients, we're balancing the need to demonstrate the ROI at an organizational level with demonstrating value, say, to a business leader or a partner or a stakeholder. And that's a little bit easier because you're talking about a more specific situation, a specific initiative. You may be able to, for example, say, we're going to revise this digital experience. We want to move people from calling the call center to going into the digital experience. And we may start with a certain level of satisfaction, we'll say, is our beacon metric. So as you make that change, at the very least, we want to expect and hope that the quality of the experience will go down. The satisfaction will stay the same. So we can more easily create an ROI equation there to understand what's it going to cost in order to develop this new digital platform. What's the cost savings for moving people away from the call center? And now let's monitor CX because we've perhaps established, at least initially, that there's this connection between CX and the outcome. And what we're the story we're able to tell is we've made this shift. We've saved money in the call center. We haven't impacted the satisfaction rate. Maybe it has gone up because now we're serving people in the channel that is their preference. And this, in that example, we're focusing on cost savings as the business outcome. But again, it creates a smaller story for a CX leader to be able to bring to their leadership, their executive council, and say, here is an example. Let's keep going and build more and more. And it opens up the conversation to then talk about it at the larger organizational level.
That makes sense. But as we started, talking about in this episode, we talk about, AI's, opportunity here. In that scenario, do you not only have to talk to the business lead, but do you have to integrate technology executives to use these AI tools, or are some of these things out of the box? Are they platforms that you buy?
Probably a little bit of mix of each of those. Certainly, the ideal situation is working with technology leaders in order, the biggest piece there, again, the gap that we've identified earlier is not having a central place for the data. So working with technology to be able to create that. Some CX leaders may be in their role, may be broad enough that they're able to develop that control. That most cases, we see that that's not the case. So there's certainly a partnership that needs to be developed with technology, with the practice leaders themselves, the lines of business, because what we also see as an issue are different lines of business not as open or willing to share their data with CX leaders. So there's an element of change management in here too, that if that's the nature of your organization, that in order to really be more effective and to take full advantage of these AI tools that feeds on large amounts of data, that you need to find ways to work with these different leaders. Some of the more specific skills like data science, again, may reside within a CX organization or be outside. And then you'd have to consider what the availability and capacity of those employees are.
So it's so interesting when we talk about all these AI solutions, it really comes down to the quality of the data. So you're saying that CX leader really needs to get together the stakeholders and the technology leaders, get a good data set before they can actually capture the value of these AI tools.
Yeah. And when we think about the data set, again, with AI and now thinking about Gen AI, both in the synthetic data, as well as one of the methods we mentioned earlier on sentiment analysis, there's certainly opportunity too from unstructured data. That's AI is going to play a role in bringing all that unstructured data in as well, making that useful to identify the patterns that are associated with different sentiments and some of the quantitative data that we have.
So we often talk to clients where the CX organization is not as centralized as we believe that it should be. You need a strong voice, the champion CX in this situation, because you not only need to bring the data together, then you need to find the investments to apply the tools. Is there a power core for CX, to make these things happen?
Yeah, I believe, certainly some of the leaders we mentioned in your earlier question are relevant, but I think what this in essence does is it elevates this CX leader role to being more than just a leader of a department, but again, helping in that change management, being demonstrating their as a champion for the customer. And I mean, it really feeds into our customer obsession model where the customer is the center of our strategy and our operations and our leadership. And that CX leader really, it's an opportunity for them to be the advocate for that customer and play a much broader role within the organization than just, for example, leading a VOC program.
But what you're saying is you're advocating for this needs to be more than somebody that's championing the customer. This needs to be a business leader on behalf of the customer and driving revenue and ROI. We need to raise somebody to the top, to convince all the stakeholders to put these tools in place.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what this demonstrates is that these tools have much broader value than say, just within a particular, you know, technology area or digital area, that there's certainly application that cuts across multiple areas of the business.
And an extension of that, I mean, we've talked about, you know, many scenarios where, you know, budget is a challenge. So is AI an area that you believe that CX leaders need to prioritize to get these things funded?
Yeah, I do certainly think it's part of the equation that they need to look at. You know, when we looked at our reported on our planning guide results earlier or late last year, this is a study based on, you know, talking to leaders across a number of different functions to understand how their budgets are being impacted year over year. We did see that for many leaders, they're looking at increasing, or they're seeing potentially an increase in their personnel and their technology budgets. And one of the recommendations we made was certainly to move into AI carefully, and more specifically with Gen AI, to be careful in how that is demonstrated in direct customer contact. But I think there's certainly has been historical evidence, and we continue to see more examples of how AI in customer experience and, you know, relatedly in market research is really having a positive impact for the organization. So I think we're at a point now where CX leaders can feel more comfortable in saying, yes, AI is a direction to move in, because there are multiple applications for it besides, you know, say what we might have looked at earlier from a data cleaning perspective.
Fascinating. And this is very timely because we're approaching CX North America, which is all about combining the AI and the human. You have a couple of sessions at CX Summit. Talk about how we can learn more about using AI for CX.
Well, yeah, certainly. So yeah, I will be presenting specifically on this topic as one of my sessions at the summit. This information will also be generated into a report that will be published later this quarter. Part of this research is also, I'm interviewing a number of companies and vendors who report to us that they've been able to start incorporating AI into their measurement frameworks, their measurement strategy. So we'll be talking about some of those examples, as well as some of the capabilities that vendors are offering now to help companies get there.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Pete. We look forward to the sessions at CX North America in June.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to it as well, and thanks for having me.
If you like what you heard today, be sure to check out the agendas for our upcoming CX Summit events in Nashville, London, and Sydney. To learn more, visit forr.com/CX events. That's forr.com/CX events. Thanks for listening.